Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. It's about that time of year when hog farmers begin the annual process of pumping a year's worth of manure out of the pits under their barns. The nutrient-rich slurry will fertilize cropland. But there's an ongoing problem in these pits, a mysterious foam that sometimes forms on the manure. As Harvest Public Media's Amy Mayer explains, no one quite understands why gases get trapped in the pits, but the foam has been causing explosions. That's right, this is a story about exploding manure pits.
Howard Hill stops his red Chevy pickup truck beside a barn near Union, Iowa, that houses 1,000 of his hogs. In the truck's bed is a 55-pound bag of Rumensin 90. That's a common antibacterial ingredient in cattle feed that helps reduce bloating. Pigs don't eat it. Hills brought it here to dump into the manure pit under the hogs. Outside the barn, Hill and Kent Reiner, the manager here, remove a fan to access the 8-foot-deep pit. It extends under the barn's slatted floor, capturing a lot of pig poop. The men peer down at a gurgling brown mass.
That gas bubbling in there turns the whole thing kind of into, it's been described as a milkshake.
Certainly not an appetizing one.
Whereas typically in a pit, you will have the heavy material down at the bottom, and that's why we agitate.
Hills brought the bag of powder to calm the gas. This is his first time dealing with foam, a vexing problem that's become a persistent issue in the upper Midwest since 2008. Several flash fires have killed hogs and injured workers. In one barn, 1,500 hogs perished. And still, scientists haven't found the cause. Iowa State University professor Stephen Hoff is leading a million-dollar three-state research project.
What we're finding is that roughly 25% of the producers that we're surveying are experiencing some form of foaming.
But Gene Gilman isn't a student. He's a hog farmer in Garden City, Minnesota, who confronted pit foam last year. Like Hill, he turned to the cattle feed ingredient.
And 3 weeks later, after the Rumensin, there was no foam.
He's been carefully monitoring this year, and so far, no foam. He doesn't know why. He thinks weather may be a factor. Last summer was much hotter than this year. And Hoff, the researcher, says that's one of the variables scientists are investigating. Another is the bacterial makeup of pits with and without foam.
We're looking very extensively at the chemistry of manure, as well as the microbial population shifts that we might have in a foaming a manure pit.
Foaming incidents seem to take off around the time an ethanol byproduct called dried distiller's grains became a common ingredient in swine feed.
It's a very high fiber feed and in some cases combined with a higher fat content. So those two components are issues or at least avenues that we're pursuing in the research business.
But Hoff says they haven't been able to make a conclusive connection between the distiller's grains and foam. Until a cause is isolated, farmers are at a loss for preventing the problem. So they're stuck with Band-Aids. Hill pours some of the powder into the bubbling brown milkshake and uses a long stick to gently mix it in. Reinert watches with anticipation.
I don't know, will you be able to see it? Do something, or how long?
No.
It might take a little while.
There's no immediate impact, but after 2 weeks, Hill reports improvement. The foam isn't completely gone, but it's consistently lower. He's quieted the milkshake this time, but he and others remain eager for a more permanent fix. I'm Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
Startup businesses are an important part of any community. They're especially important for a city that's growing in population, but shedding jobs in sectors such as manufacturing. This past weekend, KBIA's Scott Pham visited Columbia's Startup Weekend, an annual competition for businesses looking to help launch their product.
About 150 people have congregated here in a South Columbia space meant for brand new businesses. They're all here to compete in Startup Weekend for a chance at a $2,000 prize and the opportunity to pitch a business idea to important investors. Walking the floor with a bright orange Google Glass on his head is Mike Knoop, founder of Zapier. It's a company that connects different web services together in automated ways.
We got started at Startup Weekend 2 years ago. So this is kind of our reunion dance. It's always really neat to come back and see the roots, you know, see everyone in the same city that got us started.
Knoop and two of his friends competed in the very first Startup Weekend in 2011, and they won. Since then, they've hired 4 more employees and raised $1.2 million in seed funding. The event is hosted by Museo, a sprawling co-working space owned by Brent Bishore. This place and Bishore's company, AdVentures, is the center of a lot of the most promising entrepreneurial activity in Colombia.
It's a central point for sort of the startup community to coalesce around, right? I don't think you'll find another startup event. I'm going to argue another startup event in Missouri, let alone in Colombia, that has the diversity, the energy, and just the execution that this has.
At its core, Startup Weekend is a kind of tournament, and its sport is pitches. Competitors build teams of marketers, designers, and developers, forming an ad hoc tech company in just 54 hours.
It's 5-minute presentations and then 2 or 3 minute Q&A with the judges.
A lot of people come here to pitch software ideas, but most are just trying to solve a problem in their own lives.
So we are Fleeg. Fleeg, the fun league for adult children. All of those people.
There's Christy Kassman, who misses meeting new friends through sports. So she pitched an intramural sports network. Jamie Crockett hates that her home, East St. Louis, gets a bad rap in the media. So she pitched an organization that would highlight the positive stories in her hometown. And then there's Aaron Gray, an MU family physician, who just wanted to spend less time on paperwork and more time with his patients.
So our idea is Smart Visit. And so this is something where the patient, before they go to see the doctor, they log on to the website and they'll enter specific questions about the reason they're going to see the doctor.
In the end, Dr. Gray's idea received an honorable mention. The top prize and a $2,000 gift card went to Nudge, a drag-and-drop interface for email marketing. Second place and $1,250 went to Gauntlet Initiative, a 3D printing business that builds custom prosthetics. Ultimately, the top finishing teams will get the chance to pitch to real investors next week who could help launch these companies to the next level. For KBIA, I'm Scott Pham.
And that's all for Business Beat this week. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.